Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Wild West Guns and Gold brings the show to you every Monday. Jaguars Today here at the Palatial 1010 XL World Headquarters. We got asked by Amanda when we walked in, when is your studio going to be ready? Down at Everbank.
The Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith Studios.
I don't know if they refer to it as the Jaguars Today Studio, but I like the idea nonetheless. The Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studio down at Everbank. Soon enough, Tony, I don't know. It might not even be ready for a training camp. We don't need it. We'll be outside soaking it all in. Training camp's a breeze for us, man. I love training camp. We got targets of opportunity. We got players joining us after practice. We've got all the media you want to pick from to get opinions. We can watch what's going on. We're outdoors. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to camp, obviously, here in a couple weeks. And I got a feeling that it's going to be done down there sooner rather than later. At some point in time, they're going to need to be able to do Monday nights with Jaguars Monday, Jaguars Thursday, and the coaches' show. It's probably all going to have to be out of that studio, and I'm pretty sure that kicks off when camp opens up, or
typically,
at least around then.
Typically, hey, they, you know what? We still got the studio down here. They're welcome to use it.
I was gonna say, they're not worried about us. They got all this other stuff they need to put in
stuff,
that studio.
But I look forward to seeing it, but we'll see how it goes. By the way, major news, real, I guess not unexpected, but Tim Duncan, an all-time great in the NBA, top 20 player all-time, would you say, fair to say? Probably.
He's in the argument,
right?
For sure.
So, yeah. Certainly in the top 20-ish, I would put him.
Probably the best power forward of all time.
You could argue he's the best power forward of all time. You could argue Karl Malone's best power forward of all time. Some people would argue Charles Barkley is the best power forward of all time. That's generally considered the short list of how that goes. But he just officially announced his retirement today. And yes, I'm going to blow him up right out of the gate, Tony. Tyler Devitt goes, is he the Vinny Testaverde of the NBA?
In terms of age, you knew what I was trying to say. I should probably say Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning would be a more apt comparison, right?
He wins more than Peyton. Who is the best Tim Duncan comparison? One-team guy.
A one-team guy, played forever
played
with
for
one team.
Played for a long, long time.
Never had a bad season.
Tom Brady.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that
is. Tom Brady, that's a pretty straightforward, easy one, right? But Tim Duncan's a five-time champion, and it reminds me of perhaps my favorite Frank Frangie moment of all time. This is going back now. Tim Duncan had been in the NBA for 8 seasons, and Frank declared that Greg Oden would have a more impactful NBA career than Tim Duncan, who by that point had only been a first-team All-NBAer every season he had ever played. That means he was among the 5 best players in the league every year for 8 years, and had probably multiple championships, I'm sure, at the time. And
probably a little off on that
one. Might right. not want to back that horse.
People thought Oden was going to be really damn good, though. I mean, there was nobody. He looked like he was about 28 years old when he was a 16-year-old in high school.
I remember how good he was in college when he was healthy, but I remember also, Frank, when we went to the commercial break, and I started reciting Tim Duncan's accomplishments to him. He goes,
oh, no.
Oh, maybe he's a little bit better than I thought. Yes, he was. So there you have it. We're not going to break down Tim Duncan's career, but that's a good pull, Tony. Tom Brady probably is, right? The equivalent of Tim Duncan. Although, I guess if you added non-controversial in there, we'd have to look for a new one, right? Because does anyone hate Tim Duncan? You know, he's one of those guys, seems like everybody kind of liked him, right?
Yeah.
You know, the old school get off my lawn people loved him because he was good fundamentals and he'd shoot it off the glass and stuff like that. But he just, you know, did his thing, didn't run his mouth too much, let his play do the talking, and, you know, Hall of Fame career ensued. So there you have it. Today, that is not what we are focusing in on. We're focusing on something that we've done each of the last couple off seasons as training camp approaches, Tony. And this time I've added a caveat to my question, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day to get the week started. Other than win more, listen to those first 4 words. Other than win more, what is the number one thing the Jaguars can do to improve the game day experience at Everbank Field? I'm not talking about your experience sitting at home watching on TV. For folks who go to games, even if it's just one game a year, if you're a season ticket holder or anywhere in between, what can they do? And they've done a lot. We've seen them do a lot with the video boards, world's largest. They're doing the club seat renovation. They've added all kinds of different tiers of premium seating. You got the pool deck, the cabanas, all these wonderful things. 2 years ago, voted best game day experience in the National Football League by the fans attending. you ever see the results like of a similar poll from this past season? I haven't.
No.
But I would imagine Jaguar fans were just as happy with the game day experience. Again, this takes the actual product on the field out of the equation. The best thing they can do to improve the game day experience would be to win a bunch, right? Particularly at home, right? That's we granted. So take winning out of the equation. What's the thing they can do? Maybe it's concessions, something to do with parking. Maybe it's something to do with a shade factor or a heat factor. Maybe it's whatever. I don't know what it can be for you. Everyone's answer comes from their own perspective. So share your thoughts with us on that. At MD underscore 1010XL on Twitter. At 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter. At 1010XL Tyler on Twitter. The Jaguars Today Facebook page is there. 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford. We've got projecting the Jags and the rest of the National Football League ahead. Over the next 3 years, ESPN did a story on who they think will be the emerging teams over the next three seasons. If there's any category you think the Jags would get some love in, right, it would be looking ahead where you are now. What are you going to do going forward now? Young team, no salary cap issues, no big contract issues coming up that they can't afford under the space that they have. So we'll find out where they rank in there, among other things, today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. Just getting started. Love to hear from you on this Monday morning, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
I do pee in the shower. I'm not, like, going around in a circle like I'm a sprinkler and trying to cover the shower curtain and the wall.
And Tony Smith.
I purposely pee in the shower. I find it more relaxing.
On 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The more you know about the Jaguars Today crew. It's true, you know? We all do it.
I feel like that quote was taken out of context.
No.
I'm pretty sure I was reading a text.
Were you?
I was.
I don't know. Sounded good to me, Tyler. Mine wasn't taken out of context. I absolutely pee. And I don't do it like a sprinkler, all right? Just, you know, it's just a function. Just do your business, all right? So there you have it. We love it. The outreach Jaguars Today has right now. By the way, major screw-up on yours truly's part. What a shock, everybody, right? Oh, Dempsey got it wrong again. The question of the day that I tweeted out, I meant to throw hashtag Jaguars Today on the end like I always do, and I put at Jaguars Today, which is somebody's Twitter account that they created. I don't know if it's to honor the show, to try to get followers.
No affiliation.
It has nothing to do with the show. So, you know, my bad. Oopsie. I don't know what happens. Like, if I were to delete my original tweet, would it delete? I don't think it would delete the responses to that tweet, right? I just don't want to mess with it. It's not a big deal. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Also, on a programming type-ish note right now, he says, for the people who were tweeting me last week saying, what's up with the podcast? Why won't you post the podcast? It's the only way I can listen to the show. A, it is not the only way you can listen to the show. You can listen if you go to 1010XL.com. You can play it back. You can stream it back there. You can listen to individual interviews. I know people are used to downloading it at Jaguars.com. And again, Jaguars.com. Tony and I don't run the site. Tyler doesn't run the site. The guys down there are kind enough to post that and host that for us, which is very nice of them to do. They don't have to do that, and they do that. And I'm assuming right now in what's as much of a dead period on the NFL calendar as any, there's probably some guys on vacation, and they're not all that concerned with getting Jaguars Today in the early part of July posted on the site. So, you know, if it's not there, I don't know what to tell you. Those guys, we appreciate everything those guys do to get it up, so I'm not going to complain about it. They do it just as a nice service for the Jaguars Today listeners out there.
The P conversation in full is in hour one of Friday's show.
Hour one of Friday's show. So go to 1010XL.com. You can listen to hour one of Friday's show and hear all about our peeing habits in the shower. So there you have it. You don't want us to go through it again, do you? All right, so head there now. I want to see those page views starting to rise. Question of the day, other than win more, what is the one thing the Jaguars can do to improve the game day experience? Oh, yes, we've already got the clever lose less. Yes, very clever, extremely clever. Shade is running away with it, throwing shade at the idea. But I did find this interesting. And if you look, I'll get back to the shade issue here in a second. Some people have talked about concessions, you know, cheaper concession prices, cheaper beer prices, what have you. And I understand that's a common refrain that we hear that. But I also got one that just said ban alcohol. And I think they were serious, you know. And from their perspective, Maybe they feel like it's been too rowdy and rambunctious where they sit with their little kids, or they'd like to bring their little kids. I don't know. Tony, that's why we asked this question in particular, Tony. You and I can't really relate to it because we don't have the game day experience that a typical fan does. For one thing, we're not sitting out there in the hot sun. That's a major factor. And even when we are in the press box, it's a different environment. It's not completely soundproof, but it's a high percentage soundproof from outside. So it's a more sterile environment. It's a totally different deal. So we love to hear what you've got to say on this score. You can expound on it on the Facebook page and, tell us what you think wherever you can give us feedback, Twitter, Facebook, whatever the case may be, and we will get to the text line coming up. But in terms of the shade, the Dolphins in their stadium, what are they calling it these days? Is it Sun Life? Is it Dolphin Stadium?
No idea.
What is it anymore? It's not Joe Robbie. I'm pretty sure of that. Sun Life. There you go. It is Sun Life Stadium. I don't keep up with these stadium sponsors maybe as much as I should, other than Everbank, who we absolutely adore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Dolphins have done something clever. And we saw this in artist renderings for Everbank in the last few years. It's been something that's been talked about as maybe in the future we'll do something like this, where they've got kind of a tarp, like a light tent-like material, I don't know how you describe it, that would make for an awning that would stick out from the top of the stadium in towards the middle and create shade, and it would be temporary. You could take it down. You could put it back up. You could do a lot of different things with it. The Dolphins are creating a similar type system, although theirs, based on their artist renderings, looks like a more permanent kind of structure that's going in down there. But they're going to have a 360-degree awning, which will, in effect, cover everything except the field, right? And it's going to be like the Cowboys' old stadium. You had the hole in the roof, right? So God could watch his favorite team, is so the line went. But you had the hole cut out right over the field, and everything else was undercover. So if it rained, you didn't get rained on as much. Certainly it could blow in there kind of sideways. But for the most part, there was a lot of coverage. With the Dolphins, what they've done, and if this really comes to pass, the way the artist renderings made it seem, pretty brilliant. 92% of the stadium is going to be covered from the hot South Florida sun.
Mm-hmm.
The 8% that's not is the opposing team's sideline and the stands right behind them.
Mm.
Which is so smart.
Is that right? Where, like, the family sits?
I would guess, right? I mean, it's like, if you're going to cook anybody, let's cook your opponent. That's the home field advantage. That's why I always thought, you know, Jag fans, some fans would say, oh, I wish we had more road games early when it's so hot, the guys get worn out, or whatever the case may be. No, I want as many home games in the month of September. I want especially teams like Green Bay coming down here and melting in the Florida humidity. And not having acclimated themselves to it and having to deal with that right out of the gates, to me, that's a major advantage from playing in the state of Florida.
Oh, well, absolutely it is. I mean, most teams, like you said, they're not used to this kind of weather that we're dealing with at this time of the year. And even in August and September, it's still really, really hot down here in Florida. So, yeah, you want to take advantage of it when you can. The team hasn't been good enough for it to make any difference. For the past handful of years,
sure.
But it feels like they're finally maybe potentially turning a corner a little bit, and you'd like to be able to take advantage of it. I think, look, it's brilliant what Miami's doing. To throw that sunlight on that opposing team's sideline is what you should, the idea should be if you are going to put shade in the stadium, and it is the most overwhelming response we've gotten to this point is shade.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm trying to think. The worst side to sit on is the east side, right? Because the sun rises in the east and then crosses the high point in the sky around noon. Then you kick off at 1 o'clock, so it's burning in on the east side. Am I right about that? That makes sense,
the
right?
The visitor side, correct.
The visitor side is the east side. So basically, the Dolphins haven't done anything, according to these artist renderings, or are going to do anything asymmetrical. They're not cutting a hole out just over the bed. It's just the way the sun angles, that sideline is going to get the sun for the majority of those 1 o'clock kickoffs, and the rest of it, your sideline's going to be in shade. Still got to play in predominantly sunlight, but it's nice when you're coming off to get a break and actually kind of recharge your battery sitting there on the bench while the other unit is on the field, to be able to do that in a cooler environment. And on the story I'm looking at, the first one I brought up, compared it to be to what it would be like if at Lambeau Field the Packers sideline featured a fire pit while the AC units were running on the other sideline. You know, I don't think they'd allow that.
I don't think they need AC units in Green Bay.
I don't think they do, but just as to add insult to injury.
They might be upset about the fire pit.
You're not allowed to, for instance, if you have heated seats in a cold weather stadium, you have to provide them on both sides.
Yeah, it would be like if they gave you aluminum seats on the visitor sideline and they had the heated seats on the Green Bay side. So when you're up there in that blizzard and they're over there getting warm, all you have is this metal.
Yes.
To go sit on.
Icy cold metal to stick to. That would be a good comparison for that. So anyway, continue to inundate us with your thoughts on improved game day conditions, please.
I was going to ask, you kind of brought up how if one team has one amenity, the other team has to have the other. That's kind of the rule of equality, right, when it comes to the headsets. Is that for pretty much anything equipment-wise?
I think, you know, and things that are provided by the team.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, you bring your own certain equipment, so that's on you. But
they don't have to make your Gatorade.
Right.
Like iPads, both teams get those.
I think that's kind of an NFL-provided. Absolutely. Right. Microsoft Surface tablets, baby. Get it right. We don't get anything from any of these people, but... You know, we don't want to anger the powers that be either, do we? At least today we don't. I don't know, for whatever reason. But no, anything like that, like if you're going to provide big fans to cool off your sideline, I think you have to provide them to both sides. You know, anything extra above and beyond. So, you know, that's just the way it is. And so anyway, Shade continuing to run away with it right now. And I'm surprised because usually in years past, this used to be cheaper beer, cheaper beer. Cheaper beer, and that would be it. And now it's they just wanted to drown their sorrows now. They just want to be a little bit cooler as they expect their Jaguars to win more games. So keep them coming there. We've got the NFL futures predictions, Tony. NFL future power rankings from ESPN projecting the next three seasons. If there's any ranking you think the Jaguars would outperform the norm in, it would be this one, right? Because, you know, we've seen the Jags ranked in a 2016 power ranking. Still, have you seen any in the teens? I think 20, low 20s is about the highest I've seen.
Wasn't there the one where they were like 18?
It seemed like there might have been one somewhere along the line, right, for just this year. But you would think, if that's your starting point, if you think, let's say the Jags would be the 20th best team in 2016, wouldn't you think, based on the composition of the roster, the youth on the roster, the fact that you've got your young quarterback in place, that you'd expect more of them in 2017 and even more in 2018, right? This is not a team that's built to win this year and then they're going to fall apart. This is a team that, if it works, is built to sustain excellence for a while, or at least sustain whatever they produce for a while, right? So you would think if you're bullish on them in 2017, you're going to be, or 2016, you're going to be even more bullish in 2017 and 2018. We'll see, in fact, if ESPN falls into that category. Are they bullish or are they bearish on the Jacksonville Jaguars over the next three seasons as a trio of pundits there rank them in a variety of categories? Field Yates, Lewis Riddick, and Mike Sando, all pretty respected guys at ESPN. So we'll go through where the Jags fall compared to some of their compatriots as far as ESPN sees the next three seasons playing out. 641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get on board with Fat Tony and Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, it's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold every Monday. Jaguars today here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. The only show not being taken over by some form of SEC Media Day coverage.
True.
For the next few weeks. You know, if we're going to talk SEC Media Days, all I'd want to know is who are the top NFL draft prospects coming out of the SEC that could help the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017? Since that's a little early for draft talk, I'm not going to be able to...
It's a little bit early for draft talk.
I can't help you. By the way, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that.
And I think there's three quarterbacks. Every team's taking three players. And there's three quarterbacks going to SEC Media Days this year to give you some idea of where that position is.
Out of 14 teams in the league.
Everyone's taken three players, and there are three total quarterbacks that are going to be at SEC Media Days.
We used to go, Tony and I used to go, and there'd be one player from each, or two players, one player from each defense and one player from each offense. Two per team, and then they just started bringing a random third guy. But too many coaches, Tony, you hear them say, oh, we brought so-and-so as a reward for perfect attendance at the off-season workouts or something like that. It's media day. I never understood the whole event because the coaches don't buy into it.
We wanted to bring our seniors. We wanted to bring our senior class here.
Right. We wanted to reward our senior. He's done all the right things. Yeah, nobody knows who he is, buddy, and nobody cares either. Thank you for bringing the backup guard who's had perfect attendance at spring football.
Good for that guy.
Good for him. He made the trip. It's a blockbuster of a trip. Welcome to Hoover.
Because I'm sure all the kids, oh, I get to go to Hoover?
One day. But hey, look, you do get to catch up with some of the good, you know, the head coaches of interest and anyone of interest. I'm sure you'll hear from on our coverage here on 1010XL all throughout the week. It's not like there's nothing of interest going on there. It's just that they for our it's funny. Once we've gone to this format, you and I, it's been, what, 2+ years now we've been doing Jaguars Today?
Mm-hmm.
I really am so focused on the National Football League to the exclusion of all other sports. You know, I'll watch some NBA playoffs. I'll watch a good bit of NBA playoffs. I enjoy the NBA, still like it. Hardly watch any baseball anymore. You know, I look at the standings. My team's 7.5 out. That's where I'm at. And I'll check the box score tomorrow, and maybe we'll be 6.5 out. Lucky me.
No, we got to be coming up on 3 years, don't we?
I think we started in April of 2014.
This is year three.
Yeah, we're into year three. So just a few months into year three.
Because I know we've done 2 full seasons.
Right, 2 full seasons, and this is our 3rd off season, getting you ready in our own inimitable fashion. Boy, what did you do before us? Unbelievable. All right, let's go to ESPN's coverage of the National Football League, Tony. The article is entitled NFL Future Power Rankings, Projecting the Next 3 Seasons. And it's done as a collaboration with Field Yates, Lewis Riddick, and Mike Sando. Field Yates, who doesn't he epitomize the look of a guy? I don't know a thing about him. He may have had a hard scrabble upbringing, right? He epitomizes the look of a guy who was born on third base and thought he hit a triple, right? That guy.
Well, it doesn't help that his name is Field Yates.
Right.
It's such a highfalutin name.
Field Yates. I'm sure he's Field Yates IV, and he just dropped that so he doesn't look so pretentious. But he's actually pretty respected, you know, a guy.
He's a good reporter.
He's a good reporter. It's just he does seem to come from the privileged class, I do believe.
Field Yates,
ladies and gentlemen. And that's fine. All right, so here's what the categories they ranked the players on. They had 5 categories. And you could rank them on a scale of 0 to 100. The categories were roster, excluding quarterback. Quarterback, which is its own category, and shows you how important they see that in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
Draft, probably, you know, based on your recent draft prowess and maybe how you're set up for the future in terms of picks. I think more so, but your recent track record of drafting, right, I would think.
Okay.
Front office.
How's that not going to roster? But, okay.
All right, that's the same. That's what they're doing. Front office and coaching. And then they weighted the categories to create the overall score. Roster is 30%. Quarterback is 20%. So the actual, just the players you have right now comprise 50% of the score, okay? Draft is 15%, front office 15%, coaching is 20%. The result is a comprehensive ranking based on how well each team is positioned for the future. Who do you think comes in number one for the next 3 years? I have asked you not to look at these rankings.
I didn't look, and I don't even think I can. I don't think any computer I'm on has actually logged into ESPN Insider.
You don't have my password?
I do, but I just haven't logged in. You asked me not to look at this article.
You're correct.
So I didn't look at the article.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You would have to have taken a proactive step to look at the article.
The next 3 years?
The next 3 years. Which team is best positioned for success?
It's built.
With scores of 86 at the lowest in any category. That's pretty impressive, actually.
I'll go Seattle.
Seattle's number one. With a highlight of coaching at 91.7, front office at 90, QB at 89, for instance. Nothing worse than an 86 on here. Their overall score, 88.5. And they compare them to recent years. They're actually a little bit higher, it looks like. Quarterback has jumped up a tick for a little more respect for Russell Wilson. Coaching has remained the same. Everything else actually came down a smidge from last year's 3-year average ranking. So Seattle, number one. Who else might be near the top for you?
New England,
number two. Again, I found this to be very much like if you were to look at the top 8 or 9 contenders for this year, I think the list has a lot of duplication.
Yeah. You told me Denver was 9. That was the only one that you told me.
Belichick has the highest ranking of anything I've seen on here. What do you think? What number do you think he gets?
Out of 100?
Yeah.
It's got to be close to that.
99.7. They gave quarterback 89.7. Brady, that Belichick that much better than Brady is at his craft. I know Brady's going to – you got to factor in, will he be diminishing over the next few years as
right.
well? Haven't seen it yet out of Tom Brady. But, yes, the New England Patriots get a score of 88.3 overall. So they are number three. Who else might you think?
You're Green doing Bay.
Well. Green Bay comes in, let's see, fifth in the ranking. Not bad. Quarterback got a 96.3, Mr. Rodgers. Who else? Give me another one.
Arizona.
Arizona, I believe, was sixth in the ranking. So, again, very similar to what you're looking at this year. How many years is Carson Palmer going to play at a high level going forward? I know quarterbacks are playing longer
yeah.
now if you can protect
them. You would
think
them. He's got at least two more. And if they're looking at a three-year projection, that makes sense.
They gave a quarterback 65. He got a 65. So that's the one that's holding them back from having an even higher ranking. Let me fill in the holes here for you. Okay, the number three ranked team was the Carolina Panthers,
mm-hmm.
lost in the Super Bowl. Cam got an 88.3, by the way, on that, and everything is in the 80s for them. The Pittsburgh Steelers come in at, boy, if you're going to, out of these top six quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, and Carson Palmer, who's the most likely in your mind to not make it through the next 3 years? I would say Ben. Right? I mean, just because he seems to be a guy who takes the big hits, gets walloped now at this stage of his career. He's had some accumulated injuries. Regardless, he comes in at an 86.7, which is equal to Mike Tomlin's mark with the Steelers. We said that Green Bay was fifth, Arizona was sixth, certainly Jacksonville seventh. No, the Cincinnati Bengals were seventh with a score of 79 in average. The Minnesota Vikings are... eighth, this will be interesting. Keep in mind, this grade for Teddy Bridgewater, 65, okay? Then we'll go through and we'll see how that compares.
So it's the same as Carson, essentially.
Right, and I guess that you're thinking Bridgewater's ascending is your belief, whereas Palmer is ahead of him now but will be descending at some point, right? So you've got the Vikings, and again, what are we seeing a pattern here? Who was good last year, who's expected to be good this year, and we get it. That's a third of the three-year window, but... I haven't seen a lot to indicate people think conditions are going to change much with any of these teams.
No.
Ninth is the Denver Broncos, and that's where, you know, I think a lot of people might have them around the ninth contender this year because of the quarterback position, right? They don't know. Will it be Mark Sanchez? Will it be Trevor Siemian, who's getting a lot of talk lately? Quarterback brings them down. They got a 52.7 on quarterback. L.A. got a 90. Front office got a 90. And well-deserved, I think. You know, he's hit
some... done a really good job.
Major home runs. And then we get maybe the first semi-surprise at number 10, the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, coming off a 5-11 season.
Mm-hmm.
Front office gets really good marks. Probably should be higher. 88.3. I mean, Ozzie Newsome maybe the best in the business. But the roster overall, just the 66.7 outside the quarterback position. So that brings them down. But they're 10th overall. When do we get to the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Hmm.
Well, not yet. Kansas City comes in 11th. Okay, let's see. 12th is the NFC East champion Washington Redskins. Again, very much leaning on last year. Is any division more of a toss-up? Throw the AFC South out. Is any other division more of a toss-up?
Did they do this story last year where they projected for 3 years? Because I'd be curious to see where was Carolina, you know, on that list last year?
Well... I don't know if they did it last year, but they have since their last ranking, and Carolina jumped, their roster jumped up. It shows you like a bar graph, and it doesn't have the exact number of where they were with their previous score, but you can see they improved significantly across the board in every category. It looks like they took a sizable jump
right.
in spots since the last time this ranking was done. Kansas City came in 11th, I just mentioned. I got to scroll back down now. And find where I'm at. The Chiefs won 10 in a row at one point last year. Washington came in 12th. We mentioned that. The Oakland Raiders come in 13th. Everyone's darling breakout team in 2016
mm-hmm.
outside of the 904 area code. Quarterback comes in at 78.3. Remember, Bridgewater was 65. At least it's a more realistic ranking of Bridgewater compared to Carr that I think you and I would agree with there.
Mm-hmm.
Moving down to number 14, the Houston Texans. Okay, and I'm not saying right or wrong. They went major leap in quarterback. It looks like they're around a 40 for quarterback before. Now they're a 61.7. Still, you know, Brock Osweiler, it's a big improvement, but they're not saying he's some proven superstar or anything like that. Front office actually fell back to a 62.7 themselves. So Houston comes in. The New York Jets come in at number 15. They don't even know who's going to play quarterback for them this year, right? I mean, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is back, let's say on a two-year deal, is he going to play like he played last year?
Well, even if he does come back, I mean, how long are you going to have Ryan Fitzpatrick even able to play at that kind of level? I mean,
maybe 2 years.
If it's a three-year window,
right?
I mean, they have no idea what the quarterback position looks like in 2016, much less 2018.
Granted, they did get a 47.3 a quarterback. So it's not like they gave them a but. It's better than last time, but it's not great. So they came in at number 15. Still waiting on the Jags? We got to pause here. We'll come back on the other side, and after we wrap up this Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL, we'll tell you where they fall because they didn't crack the top 15. In fact, I'll go 16 because that'll be half. No, we're at half the league. I didn't want to go
one
over.
Yeah, one more.
Yeah, one more. Thank you. I'm miscounting here. The New York Giants at 16 come in there, 6-10 last year. NFC East future rank second. They fell back in coaching, the draft, and the front office. But they've taken a move up in roster and quarterback, which are the two most important factors in the calculation. So the Jags don't crack the top half of the league. And again, this is not about this year alone. It's about the next three seasons, certainly only based on the opinion of three people. But interesting nonetheless to see where the Jags finally come in the rankings, but not in the top 16. We'll get to that next. This Dayton football, the Honda drive around the NFL, coming your way. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tyler Devitt here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, well, it's just chock full of birthdays we want to celebrate because not a whole lot else happened on this particular date in football history. July 11th, 1936, Tony, Jerry Richardson was born. He's now the owner of the Carolina Panthers, but did you know he actually played a couple of years in the National Football League in 1959 and 1960 as a fullback slash halfback with the Baltimore Colts? So, Jerry Richardson, happy 80th to you. Esra Tuola with the Jags. I hope I said his name right. Used to play with the Jags and one of the first athletes to ever come out as homosexual. He did it after his playing career, but they played for a number of teams, but for a while kind of was like the face of gay athletes in sports, despite the fact that his career was over. He's been certainly usurped by many since then. 1981, Andre Johnson, born on this date, a longtime Jaguar rival, turns 35, still wants to play in the National Football League. Don't know if he's going to get that opportunity to. Looked pretty slow-footed last year, but a seven-time Pro Bowler and a two-time first-team All-Pro. Born on this date in 1982, Chris Cooley. Man, he's been out of the league for a long time. He's only 34 years old. Cooley went to a couple of Pro Bowls. My favorite Cooley story was the one career game he scored three touchdowns. He was playing against himself in a fantasy football league, which was awesome, which just goes to show you that I guess if you're an NFL player, you better make sure you're on your own squad. And there you have it. And Patrick Peterson. Only 26 years old, born on this date in 1990, already a three-time Pro Bowler and a two-time first-team All-Pro. And those birthdays comprise this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
According to sources, the Denver Broncos and linebacker Von Miller had a phone conversation on Friday that included the Broncos guaranteeing the third year in Miller's contract, which has been a sticking point in the negotiations between the two sides. There still isn't any deal done, despite a six-year, $114 million offer being out there with the third-year guarantee that would put the guaranteed money up to around $61.5 million. The deadline now just 4 days away, July 15th, for franchise tag players and the teams that tagged them to work out a long-term deal. So time is a factor there. Jarrett Hayne, who was one of the stories of the NFL preseason last year when he made the San Francisco 49ers roster, left after just 1 year in San Francisco because he had the opportunity to play for Fiji's Olympic Rugby Sevens team. Hayne did not make that team, which is among, if not the best in the world, but does plan to go back to Australia now and continue playing professional rugby as opposed to trying to come back to the States and continue an NFL career.
All right, there you go. Gave it up to come to the... He didn't make the NFL, so good for him, but kind of would have expected him to make Fiji's rugby team, right? You're telling me there are... I don't know how many people are on the roster for the rugby team. It's rugby sevens, right?
Yeah, so it's seven on seven.
It's called 15 people on the roster. Are there 15 Fijians? better than Jared. I think it's Haney, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure, but regardless, he, you know, chased a dream. Good for him. I'm sure he'll go back to be a big money maker in Australian rules football
playing,
or whatever.
Playing rugby.
Yeah, Australian rules rugby.
If he couldn't make it in the 49ers injury-riddled backfield, then he's probably not going to make it in the NFL, right?
You would think, right? I mean, Carlos Hyde, a lot of people expect a lot of things out of Carlos Hyde this year. Haven't seen it, except for one brief game last season.
The opener, yeah.
The opener. It was magnificent. I mean, it was, wow, where did this come from? He's going to be a top five running back in the league, but no. Before we get back to the countdown, we're counting down ESPN's projected top teams in the National Football League over the next 3 years. We went through the first 16 teams in the league, none of those being the Jacksonville Jaguars. The text line continues to buzz at 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. Many people compare Tim Duncan, who retired today, to Derek Jeter, which is an apt comparison, with the exception of we were looking for which NFL player is the best.
Not
comparison.
Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny. Pretty sure, although he did get one vote. Others receiving votes from Tyler Devitt.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and it has to be a guy that plays, you know, 18, 19, 20 years in the league for one team, no controversy surrounding him. Like, I thought about Unitas, but he finished his career in San Diego for that last year. It's tough to figure out guys that even stay with a team that long.
Well, you gotta figure, and like you said, there's so many factors. If you're going to compare him to Tim Duncan, you just look at their play on the field, steady play, you know, Pro Bowl level is the equivalent of whatever, or, you know, first team all pro level, yeah. I guess, would be more apt. I mean, yeah. He's one of the all-time greats. I think Brady is probably the best comparison, even though he's not, I don't think, as widely beloved. I don't know if Tim Duncan is beloved. It's just I don't think there are as many detractors for Tim Duncan. You know,
no.
What do you have to say bad about Tim Duncan? I don't know. Nothing.
No. And the ESPN bottom line just showed a statistic regarding Tim Duncan and his run with the Spurs that is mind-blowing. In all 19 seasons that he's been in the league, the Spurs have won at least 60% of their games. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That is absolute. Now, it hasn't been all him, obviously,
no.
But he was the one that put them over the top. I mean, the Spurs picked the best time to have a bad season, maybe of any franchise in history, honestly. When they fell apart, I think David Robinson was injured. And they drafted Tim Duncan, and they brought him in. They won the title in Duncan's rookie season. They had one of the biggest improvements. I think Robinson was responsible for one of the biggest improvements, too, in his rookie season with the Spurs in terms of games won from one season to the next. But anyway, and got this one in, too. I just wanted to touch on. We're talking about game day improvements, game day experience, and what the Jags can do other than win more games, which is the obvious one. Many people said, play better defense. That goes into the win more games category. Forget the product on the field. We're talking about the experience of being in the stadium minus the game itself, okay, minus the outcome of the game and how it's played, and we know that's a big factor. That's why we eliminated it from the conversation today. This one from Bert in Ponte Vedra. He said, Shad has done a great job with the game day experience, but my idea has to do with fan and staff safety at the stadium. Shad can be the first and an innovator again. Let's build a police substation under the stadium with dog kennels for our explosive sniffing dogs that would be part of the game day experience. This would be comforting for fans, maybe even some windows where people can see the dogs in their kennels. This police substation will be manned 24/7. Dogs will be teamed up with armed officers and have no set place to be. They will live, train, and only work in and around the stadium. Well, for one thing, you know, police substations have... the Eagles had a jail in their stadium, right? So you wouldn't be the first to have some kind of police substation.
Right.
The dogs are out on game day. And I don't know if you need the dogs, you know, when the stadium's not in use in the middle of the week, do you need a team of bomb-sniffing dogs on hand permanently? That, to me, would not necessarily inspire confidence as much it might inspire fear that, oh my gosh, they need them there 24/7 year round. I mean, what in the world? I think they do a fine job. I've never felt unsafe on game day. Now that I'm sure there are a lot of people that said that in a lot of circumstances where a lot of bad things have gone down. But for me, I think, you know, you remember, Tony, pre 9/11, those wrought iron gates or whatever they're made out of weren't there. You could just kind of stroll right on up, and then they made it to where, okay, you know, some van loaded with bad stuff cannot just come barreling right in, which was a big improvement. They put those concrete barricades in and all those different things. And, you know, they screen fans who all go in, and there are explosive-sniffing dogs that are on site on game day. And I think the presence, I see plenty of police, sheriffs, whatever presence out there on game day, and I've always felt pretty safe with that. But that's a suggestion from Bert nonetheless. All right, let's get back to the countdown. Like Casey Kasem here. 16 teams in, we've not heard the Jags mentioned as a team that will be among the best over the next 3 years. This is ESPN's projecting power rankings for the next three seasons combined in the NFL. The last one we left off with was the New York Giants at number 16. It brings us to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number 17. The quarterback, what did Carr get, like a 73-point something?
Something like that,
right?
Yeah.
They gave Jameis Winston a 75, which is the highest grade of anything for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Keep in mind, Bridgewater got a 65. And let me see. Let me just scroll back up just so I can get that number to refresh myself with the Oakland Raiders. I believe Carr got a 78.3. So they give Carr the edge over Winston. And look, Carr, 32 touchdown passes with I forget how many picks, but it was – significantly fewer than Blake Bortles did last season. As much as everyone's rightly excited about Bortles' development here on the First Coast, they are equally excited in the Bay Area about Derek Carr. So there's no question about that. So they give the Bucs the 17th slot. Jags should have won that game last year, but they didn't. And you know, you wonder, the Bucs go 6-10, the Jags go 5-11. The Jags win, they were 6-10, and the Bucs would be 5-11, and they just could not stop the run at all that day. If the Bucs and the Jags line up today, I think the Jags would beat them. Of course, I thought that last year, too. So,
yeah,
that doesn't do a whole lot for you. The Atlanta Falcons come in at number 18. Haven't heard from them. Quarterback Matt Ryan gets the highest grade at 76.7, but the rest of the roster only comes in at a 60 out of 100, possible 100. And quarterback has fallen down. Ryan was higher, more highly regarded the last time they did this poll. So that's, what is that, 18?
That's 18.
Going on to number 19, the Detroit Lions in a tie for the 19th spot. Could they be tied with the Jaguars? Every single category, Detroit has fallen back since the last time they've done this, and yet they still come in inside the top 20 at number 19 and tied with them at 19th. So the 19th and 20th teams are the Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints. Saints still getting big marks for quarterback and coaching. The rest of it, not so much. Roster in the mid-50s.
Man, it's a real quagmire.
Yeah. Draft.
They're in the middle of this thing. It's just a bunch of teams that you're like, I don't feel good or horrible about any of these teams. It's just kind of bleh.
So we've gone through the top 20 now. And once again, it's time to take a break. Come back on the other side.
They're not in the top 20?
The Jags are not in the top 20 teams. In the next 3 years, this is not just in 2016. And again, it's just a power ranking. It means nothing. You know, the NFL power rankings, I like to say, you find them every Monday morning in the paper. They're the standings, okay? Who won, who lost. That's the only power ranking that ultimately matters. This is not an opinion poll like college football does their business, okay? So it doesn't really matter, but it is interesting to see how they're perceived, at least interesting to me, outside of the market. And right now, they're not seen as a top 20 team moving forward over the next 3 years. I get it in the past, but you're looking at the Bucs. What have the Bucs done recently, right? The Bucs have not done much, but they're much more bullish. At least they're more bullish. They're ranked 17th than they are in the Jaguars, who don't make the top 20 right now. So when we return in a moment, we'll give you the rest of the rankings and where the Jags come in among the bottom 12 teams.
I'm curious to see what the anchor is on these rankings for the Jaguars, too.
Like, what's dragging
it feels
them
like,
down?
Like one of those five categories has to be dragging them down.
We'll let you... the categories were roster minus quarterback, quarterback, draft, coaching, and front office. I'll let you rank those 1 through 5, what you think are the strengths of the Jags compared to each other. When we return, we'll find out where they come in compared to their brethren in the National Football League. With Fat Tony and Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey, Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, as kind of our sub question of the day, which NFL player's career best compares to Tim Duncan's, who played 20 years, won 5 titles, He got to at least win one or three.
Caller suggested John Elway about 5 minutes ago. John Elway, is that a good comparison to Tim Duncan?
I mean,
not as many titles.
You know what? He took three teams that had no business being in the Super Bowl to the Super Bowl. He went to five Super Bowls, won two.
There's still people that hate Elway.
It's tough to find. I mean, who am I thinking of? The defensive lineman, San Fran and Dallas. We talked to him at the Super Bowl in the last couple of years, who's won five rings. Charles Haley, thank you. Couldn't think of his name, obviously. He's the only one with five rings. So you're not going to find a guy that's a perfect comparison, but we've had several people nominate Jackie Slater now of the Rams, never won a title. Bob Lilly of the Cowboys, never won a title. And on and on. I would think if you're going to be, I thought the Tom Brady one that you pulled out right away is pretty good. He's probably got more detractors than Tim Duncan does just because of the circumstances of the team he plays for and all that. But in terms of, coming in, playing for a long, long time for only one team and being a guy who's been in many, many championship settings and won a number of them, Brady may be the best.
A good present-day one that could end up winning more titles would be the Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. He's probably going to stay in Pittsburgh for the rest of his career. They're going to have more opportunities
at Super
Bowls.
He's got, like, two rings, though.
He's got two, but he's going to have more opportunities at more. He could probably win four by the time he's done.
Roethlisberger's certainly not...
Controversy.
You're right. In terms of personality and all that, he would not fit that, but... I still think Brady's the best. Brady's not, to me, other than the Deflategate stuff, it's not Brady himself that's controversial as much as the circumstances of his
team.
Right,
he says everything he's supposed to.
It's the Patriots.
But did he benefit from Spygate? I believe he did. I mean, I don't think they did it for any other reason. Someone said everybody loves Terry Bradshaw. Bradshaw is a good nominee. A lot of people just derided Terry Bradshaw back in the day. Remember the whole, who said you can't spell, Terry Bradshaw can't spell cat unless you spot him, or even if you spot him, the C and the A. Was that what it was?
Yeah. It was one of the Dallas defensive linemen.
Was it?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Cal Ripken. Again, somebody not getting the question, I think, as far as that goes. By the way, Cal won one title, and yes, he did play for the same team for a long time. A lot of guys who played for the same team for a long time. Jeter would be maybe the best comparison because there are really not many haters of Jeter, even if you hate the Yankees, at least doesn't seem to be. And he won exactly the same amount of rings, although he did pick up his six this week and he married Hannah, the hot swimsuit model.
Like, Jeter.
That wasn't redundant.
Right. Like, Jeter's one of those guys that, I mean, I don't hate any franchise in sports. It's the way I hate the Yankees. I mean, I hate the Yankees, but I had all kinds of respect for Derek Jeter. Always did. I didn't like him. I wanted him to strike out every single time that I saw him swing a bat, except for the last at bat of his career. I was like, it would be kind of cool to watch him get a knock here and get a walk-off hit. That would be kind of cool. It was the only time in my entire life I've ever pulled for Derek Jeter, but I never really hated Derek Jeter. I just hated the uniform. And I think there are a lot of people who felt that way about Duncan. The Spurs obviously aren't as polarizing as the Yankees, but I think Duncan was one of those guys where even if you were at a point where you hate the Spurs and what they were doing, you still kind of watch Duncan and go, wow, that's kind of amazing that a guy's still doing it.
Even if you didn't watch him like and weren't wowed by him on a game-in, game-out basis, you look at the stat line at the end of the night, the end of the season, every year. You know, 22 and 10 or whatever it was, but it was just every single year. Blocks, just among the best. Anyway, moving on. Back to the countdown, Tony. Jags did not factor in the top 20 teams on ESPN's future power rankings, right? Again, ranking the next three seasons going forward. Surely they're number 21, right? No. That would be the Chicago Bears.
Oh.
The Bears.
Oh.
Okay. Coaching, they get a slight uptick with John Fox. Their quarterback, they've dropped off significantly since the last time this ranking was done.
Faith is fading.
Despite the fact that you've got the same quarterback, right? Right. They're not believing that Cutler's going to turn it around. But the lowest ranking comes in at 61.7 for their overall roster with the quarterback took a jump up. I wonder when the last time these were done. I don't see that because quarterback went up a good bit, and it could have been several years ago. Why would Cutler's ranking have gone up so much in one off season, like 10 percentage points? Maybe it's just different people voting on it.
I don't know.
All right, moving on. Finally.
He did cut his picks down from 18 to 11, so that was a big part with him. Gase wanted him to cut down his picks and take less risk.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
That was it.
He played more efficiently. The Jacksonville Jaguars, finally by purchase at number 22.
22!
Third in the AFC South, so you are ahead of Tennessee. I'm sorry, second in the AFC South in this ranking. They were third last year. They come in ahead of Indy and Tennessee. So at least Indy, they're not going, oh, Luck's back. They're the best. The roster stinks. Now I ask you, Tony, if you're going to rank
the five categories,
roster minus quarterback, quarterback, coaching, draft, and front office. I don't know how much you separate draft from front office.
I know, that's difficult.
Right, but what would be the top category? What would get the top mark?
I'll go draft.
Incorrect, sir.
Okay.
It would be quarterback would be the top. Blake Bortles got a 72.7. I don't know if they factor in. That's a major jump from the last time they did these rankings.
Right.
Again, they don't have the old number, but they show you by a line on the chart that probably had them around maybe 40% or something like that, 40 out of 100. 72.7, you compare that to Bridgewater, who came in at 65. So at least they see that, right? That it's not just, oh, Teddy Bridgewater, one more game, he's the better quarterback. Oversimplification. But he trails Derek Carr, which, again, when we go back to that top 100 ranking of players, the day the first 10 came out and Derek Carr was in the 90s.
He was 100.
He's number 100, right? When he was in that last 10, we said we didn't think Blake Bortles would be in the top 100 based on that, because the national perception of Derek Carr is stronger across the board compared to Blake Bortles. Just is, whether you like it or not, okay? Doesn't mean it's right or wrong or anything. It's just that Tony and I talk to guys in different markets all the time, and I'm telling you, it's hard to find a person outside of the Jacksonville area that would take Bortles over Carr, okay? So Carr gets a 78 point whatever. Winston got a 75, for instance. Bortles gets a 72.7. Next best category for the Jags was draft, and they probably get a boost from this year's draft in particular, which people think they knocked out of the park. 67.7 for them. The front office gets a 66.7. Again, seems like a very similar category. Roster without quarterback gets a 65. Gus Bradley and the rest of the coaching staff come in at 55 out of 100. I don't think it's unfair.
No.
Right? I mean, look, they've won an average of 4 games each of the last 3 years. I don't think it's unfair.
So they were right around probably, what, a 68 or something like that on average, 69 maybe even?
They were a 65.2.
Without?
Oh, with coaching included.
Right.
So knock that on. Keep in mind, coaching, I think, was 20%. Not all of these are weighted evenly.
No.
Quarterback and overall roster are weighted the most.
So what would a 68 put him at on the list?
Let's see if they jumped up to a 68, they would be ahead of there. They'd be ahead of there. They'd be ahead of there. We're moving on up. We're up into the teens. 68 puts him in the top half of the league. 68 would make him number 16.
Okay.
They'd come in between currently the Jets and the Giants is where they would rank according to this. Let me give you a few of the comments made by the ESPN Brain Trust that put this together. Again, it was Field Yates, Lewis Riddick, and Mike Sando. We're all pretty good writers and reporters. Field Yates took the high point and said, well, this grade for Blake Bortles isn't quite as robust as some of the other quarterbacks who had the highest rating for their respective teams. He's still a promising young signal caller who took a major leap forward in year two. He piled up stats last year, but more important were the strides he made as a decision maker. With a better roster around him, Bortles' arc of development doesn't appear to be slowing down anytime soon. So mostly glowing review of Blake Bortles. I would say maybe even too glowing in the decision making category. He still threw way too many pick sixes, right? Led the league in interceptions, so it's not perfect yet. Room for improvement. Low point, written up by Lewis Riddick. In his 3 seasons in Jacksonville, Coach Gus Bradley has a 12-36 overall record. He's won just 6 of 18 AFC South games. It simply cannot continue. Bradley helped Seattle's defense vault from the number 25 scoring unit in 2010 to number 1 in 2012, but the Jags' defense has actually gotten worse from a points allowed perspective since he arrived in 2013. There won't be any excuses going forward. The front office has shelled out significant guaranteed money to big-ticket defensive free agents, while also spending a ton on draft resources on the defense the past 2 years. As Todd Wash takes over for Bob Babich at D coordinator this season, there's a big bullseye in this coaching staff to produce quickly. And finally, what could change written by Mike Sando. GM Dave Caldwell and Coach Gus Bradley have contracts through the 2017 season, which means they're running out of time to earn extensions. The Jags' record during their tenure, which I mentioned, is tied with Tampa Bay and Tennessee for the NFL's worst mark. The upcoming season could determine how much longer the Jags stay the course. There are some talented young players to build around regardless, but the overall direction could change. I suppose the coaching could change. I don't think the overall direction is going to change. Whoever comes in, let's say they went 5-11, vastly underachieved. I don't think the next guy coming in is blowing up this roster. I think it's a roster to be very excited about, is the bottom line.
I think so too, but I do think, look, if they don't start winning soon, then you're going to, the question marks about, is Blake really ready to take that next step? If they go 5-11 this year again.
If he's the cause of it.
Right, then you're looking at it going, all right, you know, what really is going on with the quarterback position? I think there are certainly pieces in place that you didn't feel like were here when they got here in 2013. It looks like they got a really good young wide receiver core, some pieces on that offense. There may be still some questions on the offensive line with where they want to go, especially if they don't have that kind of success. But if they go 5-11, I think it's going to be because of Blake Bortles. And if that is the case for this team again this year, then if someone else is taking over, there is a serious question about whether or not Blake can take that step, or if he's Jay Cutler, right? Where there's always going to be that tease of, this guy looks like he's got everything, but just never quite puts it together to make it elevate that team to the level that you need him to.
And if it is because of that, and let's say not, you know, a series of bad, you know, there are a lot of ways they could lose games, as they've demonstrated. But you're right. If we're kind of on Blake, that may be one thing. I just think this roster, if I were a coach coming in with one of these teams that's ranked in the 20s or 30s here, this is a roster I would want to work with. Tennessee came in at 23rd, by the way, at number 23, with Mariota doing better than Bortles, but not as well as Carr. He got a 77.3. Remember, Bortles got a 72.7. Let's see. Philadelphia, the Eagles coming in at 24. The Colts at 25. The roster, other than quarterback, 58.3.
Ooh.
The quarterback position gets an 88.3, but that's down from something it looks like in the mid-90s that they had previously. Their draft and front office is mired in the mid to low 50s. It's luck, the perception of luck that has them that high, and they're not very high at all. The Dallas Cowboys come in at number 26. The San Diego Chargers at 27. The Buffalo Bills at 28. Miami Dolphins to follow that. And then you wrap up with the Rams, the 49ers, and the Browns. You knew the 49ers and the Browns would be at the very
bottom. Rams are 30th, huh?
Rams are 30th, yes.
How about that?
So, and they have who knows? They could make a major leap, too. You just don't know about the quarterback position at this point in time. Coaching for the Rams, by the way, Jeff Fisher, what do you think he gets out of 100?
65.
You might, Gus Bradley got a 55, yeah. Right? 46.7.
Good
for them.
Cow.
Good for them for finally realizing this guy is the king of mediocrity. Right? He's had three or four really good seasons in his career, and he's got a bunch of 8-8, 7-9s, and some significantly worse than that.
I do really love the conversations that everyone was having going into the draft when the Rams traded up to get that number one pick, and it's, you know, most rookie quarterbacks don't get to go into situations as good. That's what's going on in Los Angeles, and they're 30th. Now they're projected to be 30th among 32 teams in the league for the next 3 years. What a position to be put in with all those pieces on offense. You got Gurley and nothing else. Tavon Austin looked like a little bit of a player last year maybe for you, but nothing else on that side of the football. Unbelievable.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And Todd Gurley, by the way, said you should take him number one overall.
Yeah,
in fantasy. Then he qualified, unless you want to take Antonio Brown
or Cam,
or maybe Cam.
Yeah,
right. But don't be that guy. Draft quarterback number one overall.
No.
Okay, unless your scoring system is cuckoo. One more on the text line. We'll take a timeout and come back and look at the fan feedback question of the day. Charles Haley is who I immediately thought of when you asked this comparison. The problem with that, he didn't play at one team his entire career. I don't consider any of the quarterbacks a good comparison. Elway and Brady are considered two of the greatest of all time. Duncan gets good respect, not as held as high esteem as Brady or Elway. Duncan's held in so much more higher regard than Charles Haley is in his sport. It's not even funny, though. If you're going to say that Duncan's not on Elway and Brady's level, I don't know. If you're talking about overall players, I'm not just talking about at their position. I know Brady, some people think Brady's the greatest player of all time. I would argue, you're probably right, that Duncan does not get the credit Brady does. Elway, I personally think he's the best quarterback of all time, but I don't think you're going to see that in many rankings play out. If you were to rank the best players in football history, would John Elway rank higher than Tim Duncan would in the NBA? Now, granted, you're one of five guys on the field compared to one of 22 with offense and defense throwing the special teams out the window. But either way, it's a fun conversation on the day Tim Duncan retired. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this. Other than win more, which is the same as lose less, by the way, pretty much, what could the Jags do to best improve the game day experience for you at EverBank Field? We'll go through some of your responses when we return in just a moment. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
But wait, there's more. Jaguars Today. Got 8 minutes left, at least, and we'll turn things over to the Midday Chalk. Most of the crew here in the good old 904 area code. It's at the big gun. Hacker.
Hacker's embedded.
Media days. By the way.
Well, Hacker will be the one that is most in awe of everything happening.
Oh, he's always in awe.
Still at SEC Media everything. Days.
Oh, yeah, man.
If you're ranking the awkward pictures Hacker's had of himself posted on Twitter, where would the one in front of the general RB bus go?
It's hard to tell. I mean, honestly, it's hard to tell with all the awkward pictures we've seen of Hacker over the years.
I just never seen someone give two thumbs up and have the thumbs separated by like an inch. You know, they're like,
it was weird.
This kind of picture. It was just an awkward pose, I thought. But
yeah.
He looked happy because he loves him some SEC media.
He does.
There you go. Before we get to the fan feedback spotlight, Tony, a lot has been...
Told him to get me one of those business cards this year. I want a Derek Mason business card because he's got the solid gold card that he
has
out. Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, I want one. I've been telling him for 3 years now that they've gone and he's been there to grab me a card.
And he's yet to do that.
Haven't happened
probably
yet.
Has 16 of them
I asked
in his
him
own
for one.
Drawer.
I saw him. I shared a beer with him at the Combine this year. He happened to be there to support a couple of the guys that were there, and he was in my hotel lobby, so I sat down with him and talked and chatted. For a couple minutes, I asked if he had any of the business cards. He's like, I didn't bring any with me for this trip. I was like, dang it.
You didn't plan well, Derek.
I know.
Much had been written and talked about in terms of the lack of good tackling in the NFL, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's diminished. It's tailed off in recent years. Jeff Schwartz, who plays for the Lions, is taking over for Peter King this week for the Monday Morning Quarterback column. And he said the biggest factor he thinks... A lot of people blame spread offenses in college, right? Guys aren't taught to block the same way, and so blocking is diminished and tackling is diminished. He says, if you want to find a factor that changed the game the most, look at two-a-day practices going away.
Yep.
2 days is a phrase that makes all footballers cringe, but the current CBA, under the premise of player safety, did away with two practices a day, but that decision dramatically changed the game. Blocking and tackling will never be the same without two-a-days. Those are skills that need constant repetitions. I used to blame collegiate spread offenses for the general decline of offensive line play, but the loss of reps is mostly at fault.
I would totally agree.
At the same time, we love our superstars.
I understand
why. Age,
yeah.
It's a big money business. 16 games already pushing these guys to the limits. You don't want to lose guys in 2 days, and everyone's in the same boat. And people love offense, right? And people can say, I love a good 10-7 game. Well, that's great. If you were the majority, the rules would be geared towards more 10-7 games, but you're not. The people more love their 45 to 41 games when they can get them.
They're going to keep getting them.
And they're going to keep getting them, it looks like, in today's day and age. Now, I don't know how many people included the proper hashtag today, so I apologize because I went at Jaguars Today instead of hashtag Jaguars Today.
We got a bunch.
But give us some of the feedback today. We asked people, how do you improve the game day experience other than having the Jags simply win more games?
From Cristiano, our Brazilian fan, he said, move to Brazil. From Black Dog Express, instead of tarps on the seats, raise them above the seats. Shade equals comfort equals ticket sales. From Joey, move EverBank Field closer to my house. Well, maybe not. It sucks here. Hashtag Kansas sucks. From Jarrell, lower concession prices, seriously. From Duval Doom, shade. From Kevin, reduce the prices on some of the concessions. Other than that, they're good. From STL to Jax, we got lower ticket prices are always a good way to improve the experience. Not going to happen. They're already plenty low. From Irish Jaguar, lose less. Seriously, though, I think some form of shade machine would be cool. And I don't know if he was trying to be kind of funny with that cool phrase in the shade or... I don't know what a shade machine would be except a tarp. From Brian, extend the Skyway from beaches to Everbank and baseball grounds. From Ocho Fisho, stop playing American Soldier after the bell toll in the fourth quarter. We need a better song. From Clay, maybe drop base concession items, then the stadium would be perfect. He included a picture of the covering for the stadium rendition that we saw last year.
Yes.
From Spaz Gator. I was going to say concession prices, but please, if possible, give me some shade. From Jagdog, turn the sun off. And finally, from Luke's Warm Takes, bring back Metallica for the fourth quarter or anything other than Toby Keith. Really, some form of cover or shade would be some next-level awesome stuff, too, though.
By the way, a correction, another one for me. Bob Lilly did win one Super Bowl in 71. I was looking at his page on Pro Football Reference to check.
He was all-pro like 8 or 9 years.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know how they put that little ring, though, next to the year? They only do it in a certain section on there, and I overlooked it. So he did get one with the Dallas Cowboys. Still don't think that's a perfect fit, but a better fit than in a comparison to Tim Duncan with at least one championship. Yeah, Bob Lilly was 11 Pro Bowls, 7-time first-team All-Pro. He's pretty good. Pretty good back
that's
in the day.
That's not bad.
Yes, and a one-time Super Bowl champ. 11 Pro Bowls. Here's some on the Facebook page that we got in. We would not need shade if the powers that be had not made the ridiculous decision to change our team color from teal to black. Bring teal back, baby. Also remove the Skinner curse and bring back Sweet Home Alabama. I don't know how
it's
that would...
It's hot white.
But the game day experience is not about the players. It's about you as the fans. You don't have to wear black. So, you know, I don't know if...
Plenty of white Jags here.
I think... Right. And I think there's plenty of people... The people aren't thinking the players need to be cooler. They're thinking they need to be cooler. It's not about the players having shade. It's about the fans and the stands having shade. And that's where all these renderings of the semi-tarped stadium, you know, not the seats, but the stadium itself are dealing with. James said pregame concerts using local bands, New Day would rock the stadium. Well, they may rock the events field next to the stadium. NFL ain't letting you have a pregame concert with all the little things they have on their checklist and with all the warm-ups going on. There's not going to be a pregame in-stadium concert anywhere in the National Football League. But outside on the events field, and they do bring in musical acts from time to time, please don't put them close to J.P. Shadrick and I. Please. That's all I ask you, because it does make it difficult. But no, that'd be fun. You know, yeah, it's certainly something that they've done a little bit of in the past. John said, stop the stupid chant, move them chains.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Cool in the beginning. It's time to move on. Tony said, have a live interactive app that has the guess the next play and other trivia to win prizes. That would be cool.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're into that whole kind of thing. I know there are a lot of people say, oh, you're there for the football. Well, not everyone is. People are there to be entertained in different ways, and the Jags have recognized that.
I used to go out Sunday and Monday night. You could go to a bunch of different sports bars, and they would have, you know, usually it's the trivia thing they hand out. But for Sunday and Monday night football, they would basically be predict the play. And you could compete with everyone else in the bar for the whole time, and you could do it as simple as run pass if that's all you wanted to do, but you could pick side. You could, so left, right, middle, you could pick in pass, you could do short, deep, long, or short, medium, long, and behind. So you could call a screen if that's what you thought they were going to call. And at the end of the night, you could see who did it the best.
Right. Now, did you get more credit the more detailed
the more specific you were. And every set of three downs, you could double up your points on that play.
Nice.
And you get a bonus for, like, consecutive calls, right? So you get an advantage if you only pick, like, run pass, because you can build up your bonus. But if you feel like, okay, I'm really sure third and one, they're running up the middle, you can do run middle and bonus it up.
Right.
And double it up. It was fun.
That's cool. Tommy said offer a Jackson for a Day contest where a fan gets to be the mascot, scooter, zipline, and all. As I mentioned to you on the break, one word, liability.
Yeah.
Okay, ain't happening.
They put one of you clowns in there, y'all start flagging off the Colts, it's over.
Right.
Jackson's dead forever.
To me, I'm thinking more about, you know, somebody on that little mini scooter that they're not as well-versed in as they need to be, or they're bungee jumping, and I just think there's too many opportunities for accidents to happen there. That's not happening. Let's see. At halftime or the end of Jags victories, have a Madden challenge for prizes on the big video boards. People have been clamoring for a Madden tournament on the video boards for a while. Let's see. Better halftime shows. More Skinnered. Pay Nintendo to put legendary Pokemon there. Apparently. You're not doing this, right?
No. And I will not participate in this Pokemon Go thing.
Tyler's running around in Uber. He doesn't know whether to pick somebody up and make some money, or whether to drive three blocks the other direction and go chase an imaginary little sprite on his screen.
I mean, Beef told just, and I, like, Beef and I both share the nerd gene, but, I mean, he stopped four times on his way here this morning.
Stopped.
Stopped
out of his car. Right.
Four times on the way to work at 5 in the morning. There, no, I'm not playing any game that asks me to do something that stupid. I get outside plenty. I don't need this to encourage me to go outside of my own home.
Final one on the text line today, driven by Duval Ford, and this will end it. Ugh, I hate morons that say lower the ticket prices. Bro, you can sit in the 400s for so cheap. That is not an excuse. It drives me nuts. And newsflash, when you go to an event, beer costs $8. Welcome to 2016. That being said, I think the amphitheater is going to be huge for game day. look, you can bring food into the stadium. Right? I mean, they let you bring in food.
Yeah.
In a clear, go to KFC, get a bucket and dump it in a clear plastic bag and you can bring that in. That is a pretty good deal,
no
honestly.
Doubt.
Can't help you on the beer. I guess drink more pregame, have a designated driver, have Tyler pick you up after the game in his Uber. Just be prepared to stop for Yu-Gi-Oh or Pikachu or whoever he's chasing after.
If he sees an ultra rare, he's stopping.
And then, you know, I agree with the lower the ticket prices. They're as low as you're going to find in the National Football League. And they have, one thing they've done is keep the common average ticket price level while they've increased premium seating, and they've sold those out, and they've increased ticket revenue through those methods. If you don't want the premium seating, you can go sit out there. If you just want the stadium experience, I mean, is it cheap? I don't know what your budget allows for, but when you compare it to the rest of the National Football League, yes, it's an inexpensive NFL experience here in Jacksonville. That does it for us today. We love getting that kind of feedback, though, because, again, Tony and I don't have that same game day experience that you have, so it informs us as well. We appreciate that. All right, that does it for us today. Get ready for some wall-to-wall SEC Media Days coverage kicking off in minutes with Midday Chalk. They've got Hacker loose in Hoover, Alabama. I bet he's been to the Ruby Tuesdays this morning, Tony, in the Galleria Mall already. But we will find out when those guys join us. Coming up next right here, thank you to Tony and Tyler, and, of course, for Joe Fortunato as well. Thanks to our Monday sponsor, Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Online, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.